You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
North is on fire. Come, what in the world? Hey, as you take your seat, hit three or four people and tell them, I'm glad you get to sit by me. You're lucky. Tonight's your lucky night. Come on. Come on. Wow. How about our worship team, huh? Dude. Gabe, can I brag about this guy for 1 second? This attractive bass player, he has a girlfriend, ladies, sorry. But I was preaching at My City Youth a couple weeks ago, I think. It was like 2 weeks, Halloween, right? Yeah. And he's been working with the team, and I'm telling you, I have never seen a Friday night worship like that. It was next level. The encounter, the power, the band were awesome. And Gabe, like, bro, I just want to prophesy over you that a generation of worship leaders is coming up, and you are the model. You are the example of the price it will cost to bring the next generation's worship into from heaven down to earth. You are the model of what it takes. Keep being a witness. God's got favor for you. I see financial blessings coming your way. Okay? Don't doubt. Don't doubt. You keep serving God. He will not be mocked. He will not be mocked in your world. Come on. Give it up for Gabe. Great guy. Great guy. All right. How you doing over there, Keys? Good? Emma, how long have you been doing this key thing? How long have you been doing this key thing? No, no? It's been a while, though? Do you feel like you're pretty good at keys? Yeah? Are you able to flow with me for a while? Are you able to stay up here and play with me? Can you do that? Is that cool? You got it. If it gets too long or you get tired of standing, you can just leave, okay? You can ditch me. That's fine. Rest of the band, you guys do what you want to do. Be back. Practice that drum riff from the Twisted musical. That's the greatest drum riff of all time. Phil Collins. It's good stuff. Hey, can I give a shout out to our college students sitting over here? Come on. Where's another Gabe? Where's Gabe Thielen at? Where you at, Gabe Thielen? Come here. Stand up, bud. Or you're all standing up, but come into the light. Go this way. Like 3 feet. There he is. Handsome man. Hey, when I'm up here, I want to just give this young man such a shout out. I'm so proud of you, buddy. I asked you to come up to North and rally the college students, and you've got a section filled with college students, and you are a leader, and you have a heart after God, and God just anoints that, and I am just so blessed to have you in my world and to watch you step into it, and I'm telling you, My ceiling will be your floor when it comes to ministry and just what you've done. You are a great man of God, and God is just getting started with you. Don't doubt it. Jesus' name. Come on. Okay. Man. Woo! There's like, I don't even want to preach. That's just like, wow. 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 You guys have created such an atmosphere in here. There's such a great atmosphere in here. Can I encourage you? This isn't normal. This isn't normal, okay? But what God likes to do is he likes to take natural and put some super on it. He likes to make things supernatural. And this isn't hype. This isn't just hype. This is people that want more of God. And God is ready to answer that prayer. That is the prayer that he loves. When his children say, God, I want more of you. He moves on that prayer, and that's what's happening here. And I just encourage you, don't be a person that comes on a Sunday night and needs everyone else to pull you into the atmosphere. Be instead of a thermometer, be a thermostat, and come on Sunday nights and say, I don't know what everyone else went through, but I'm gonna make sure that they get sucked into a vortex of faith, of hope, of encouragement, of believing that this is just a test, which turns into a testimony. What you're facing right now is a test. You can't have a testimony without the test. You need Sunday nights, you need Sunday mornings to get in that zone. But I encourage you, like, prep, listen to worship on the way so you're already warmed up. And if you're a good singer, warm up your voice. If you're a bad singer, get it out in the car, okay? If you're standing by me, I'm just kidding. You sing to Jesus all you want. Anyways, I'm going to get started real quick. I want to say from the bottom of my heart, there are two people in this room that I have so much respect for. And now that I am a dad, I have unbelievable respect for. But your campus pastors, Pastor David and Brianna Chittick, are two of the finest examples of what a life on fire for Jesus looks like. And I'm telling you, I would follow this guy and this lady into any battlefield, into any situation, because I know behind what he does up here is a man that seeks the will of God and is surrendered to God. And you can trust their leadership. They are great, phenomenal people. And Brianna, I don't know how you're alive having twins. I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you haven't slept in 3 years. I don't know how you do that. My son is here. He heard me yelling, so I might have scared him off a little bit. But I thought he was saved, and then last night he proved to me that he's not quite saved yet. So I'm hoping he'll come back in for the altar call and learn how to rest in the Lord and sleep. So I am sleep deprived, but I think I preach better like that. So let's roll. It's such an honor to share with you guys. I honestly plan on being kind of quick because I want to open up tonight for some ministry time. God wants to move in people's lives. He didn't just bring you here to get information. He brought you here for transformation. So I'm just going to prime the pump real quick, get the flow going, and then we're going to let God do what he does. So my message for those of you taking notes that want to go to heaven is well-equipped is the name of my message. Well-equipped. Are there any adrenaline junkies in the house tonight? Yes, my people. I love adrenaline. I love that when you're on that edge of like, this could possibly end in death. Like I actually just, that feeling when you are going 110% and you're right on the line of control, like I'm addicted to it. I have been skydiving. I have been bungee jumping. I have been rock climbing. Like I'm a serial like adventurous, all right? I'm a serial adventurous. And just to kind of prove a point, and this is no lie, this is right out of my garage, not doctored up. And I have like 7 of these bins, and I call them my equipment bins. And they're just little snippets of things I have gotten all about and gotten all into. And I'll go in here a minute, but the reason I brought this is I was thinking about my adrenaline junkiness and loving that life on the edge thing. And I thought, you know, the common difference between an adventure and a tragedy really boils down to the equipment that you have in the situation. For instance, if you jump out of a plane with a parachute, that's called skydiving. If you jump out of a plane without a parachute, that's it. It's called the end, okay? If you go jump off a bridge with a bungee jump or bungee cord, it's bungee jumping. If you jump off a bridge without a bungee cord, it's taking a nap with the fish, okay? I mean, you guys get the picture here that the difference of often life and death, especially in extreme sports, boils down to if you have equipment and the proper equipment. And God really spoke to me on this because I was kind of driving home from work and just thinking, man, I need to go do an adventure of some sort. I've got that itch and I need to scratch it. And I felt the Holy Spirit whisper to me, he said, this whole thing, the difference between your adventures and a tragedy is the equipment. And the difference in a Christian's life between the life being an adventure or being filled with tragedy and letdown really comes down to the equipment that Christian decides to apply and use in the situation. That is the truth. Listen, we are saved by what Jesus has done, and we are guaranteed heaven because of what he's done on the cross. And all that is necessary for that is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he died for your sins, and that's covered. But we have to partner with the equipment God has given us in this life to make sure on this end of heaven, we're pulling heaven down to earth. It requires a partnership with the Lord. It requires us to use the equipment he's given us. And I'm going to keep it pretty quick, but these are just 3 things I, as a Christian for, oh man, I'm 32. I've been a Christian for 18 years. And these are 3 things that I have, 3 pieces of equipment that I have learned. I am incapable of flourishing and turning my life into a venture without these three things being attached onto me. But just to prove like the equipment junkie thing and how I am, like this is me, okay? I love getting into a new sport or a new hobby that's intense and fun, and I love shopping for equipment. So I have seven of these bins. This is just one. So first thing right here, I've got, that's a gi. Okay, for about 4 months, I was into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Okay, I've got a gi in here. Oh, I've got the kick plates too to kick people, okay? I went one time and played, what's this called? I don't even know, it's with the blue balls. Badminton with Dr. Matt Hubbard. One time, bought all the equipment, I've been once. Badminton, it's not badminton, whatever it is. Rock climbing gear. About a year I was into this, so that was okay. But obviously, I've really used this a lot. It's still got the tags on it, but I don't even know everything that's in here. This is spearfishing equipment. This is my stuff from my garage. I told them don't clean the bin just so I could prove that this is how I roll. Okay, yeah, that's everything. I have seven of these bins. My wife wanted me to tell everyone that everything's for sale. But I love it. I love having the right equipment for the job. I've learned in my life of if I go and try an adventure without the right equipment, it usually ends up a tragedy. If nothing else, an epic fail, definitely, okay? And so the first thing I want to talk about, the equipment that we as Christians have to carry, is the Holy Spirit. First, I want to go to the scripture, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Just in case you're like, I don't know, okay, is this in the Bible, this whole equipment thing? It is. Check it out. In a minute. There we go. Every scripture is God-breathed, given to by his inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error, for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. Next verse. So that the man or woman of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God does not want to send you into the battle not thoroughly equipped for what the good work he has planned for you. He has good things planned for you. And I want to encourage you, if you're coming in this room and there's a test in your life, that's the theme tonight. It's a test that's going to be a testimony. And tonight I want you to hold on to faith that God has equipped you to get through this. First thing he equips with is his Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49 says this, my novelty Bible up here. And behold, I will send forth upon you what my Father has promised, but remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit is meant to live inside of every Christian, giving them power to have a life that is a witness to this world. Jesus said, I came to give life and life abundantly. And if people aren't able to look at your life and see the overflow, see that, oh my gosh, like what they have, even when they walk through stuff, the peace that they have, the strength that they have, the way they talk, the encouragement that they have, how do they do it? Your life will shine with Jesus when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about, you know, I don't know. I'm not like a Caleb Holy Spirit, okay? I'm sorry if you like Caleb music, but I'm talking like the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave is flowing and coursing in your body. I remember a few weeks ago we were doing a college night on UCSD, a gathering, and this guy kind of got tricked into going by one of our high team. It was beautiful. He was a Hindu. And he walks up to me, and you know, I kind of knew he wasn't saved because of the way he approached me. He said, hey, nice blinking speech, by the way, bro. I was like, sweet, I love this ministry. And I'm like, thank you, man. He's like, you know, I don't really believe anything you said, but that was really inspiring. I was like, all right. And he's like, you know, I believe that like there's energy, man. Like there's energy everywhere and all religions are the same and they just tell you to be a good person and help you be a good person. And I said, bro, let me tell you something. Have you ever felt that energy? Have you ever actually had that energy come inside you and start to shift things, and you feel like you're being electrocuted, and all of a sudden you wake up and everything smells better, everything looks better, and you have passion again? Have you ever, you know, I just start to download my testimony to him. And, you know, I mean, he didn't lead him to Christ that night, but he was like, dude, that was awesome. Oh my gosh, I never thought that was possible. You know, this is the Holy Spirit. I remember when I got saved, I went to like, this is why I'm so passionate about youth ministry. I went to a conference and they were worshiping, and I just kept saying, God, I want more of you. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't grow up in a spirit-filled church. And the next day during worship at church, I felt my tongue moving in my mouth when I would close my mouth. And I'm like, what's going on? This is weird. Okay. And it was like, I could stop it if I wanted to, but if I didn't stop it, it would happen. And then I went to our Bible study after church, and we're all sitting, it's like 12 of us, we're sitting around with our youth pastor. I open my Bible and I begin to just weep. Like I wasn't sad. I wasn't, nothing was going on, but I just couldn't help but cry when my Bible was open. So my youth pastor grabs me. He's like, are you okay, bro? And I was like, I don't know what's happening. This is happening. My tongue's moving in my mouth. And thank goodness he was spirit filled and didn't think I was just a hormonal teenager. You know, he was like, bro, you're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was like, what is that? He's like, put a little breath to the words, put a little breath to them. And I began to speak in tongues, and I had a spiritual language. I could pray in tongues, and the rest of the day, just I just was crying, not tears of joy, tears like my soul was just being cleansed and washed out, and I just felt so clean. I felt so loved. You know, I did think I might be going crazy because I couldn't stop crying, but to this day, when the Holy Spirit fills a room, that's my manifestation, crying. It's the worst. I'm like, Holy Spirit, give me something else. Make me flex when you come in the room. You know, all of a sudden I start burning calories when the Holy Spirit's in the room. No, I cry. Not manly at all, but it's okay. It's worth it because I love his presence. I'm gonna bring up one of my college students if he hasn't passed out, but this is more gear from my garage, by the way. So CJ, would you come out real quick? I got tons of gear, okay? This is CJ, come on up, CJ. He's handsome. CJ, are you single right now? Yeah, ladies, he's single. Okay. So, CJ is wearing a 4'3 cold water wetsuit. Got a nice surfboard. He's been wearing this all of worship. So, he probably will, if you need water, bro, he's probably going to pass out. But this is more equipment for my room. And as I was thinking about the equipment spiritually, like the Holy Spirit, God started thinking of the equipment I had in my garage, and I was like, oh, I see a correlation. So he's obviously suited up well for surfing. And the Holy Spirit, just like surfing, so let me put it this way. There's things I've learned about surfing, and just so you guys know, I'm an excellent snowboarder. When I moved to San Diego, I'm like, I am going to be so good at surfing. I went out, and I'm not lying to you, the very first time I went out, I sucked. And I have continued to suck at surfing. I am not a good surfer, but I have gear. All right, and so, but I have learned a few things from surfing with the birthday boy, Mike Finn, and some other people. One, it's a lot about the position. The position. You wanna see where that wave is going to break and where it starts, where the peak starts, so you can get in the position and get the maximum amount of time riding that wave. And also, getting out has a lot to do with position. I have spent hours. I have gone surfing one time and never got past the break because I was trying to paddle in a place where everything was breaking. Knowing where to be, knowing the position is so important. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit. You've got to position yourself in a place where he can move in your life. You have got to make room in your world in the mornings to connect with Jesus. You have got to connect with the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, when I'm connected to him, when I'm in the right position of just knowing he's present, he tells me things. He'll whisper things in my ear. I was on a date night the other night, and all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to tip your waitress like 200%. I was like, dang it, you know? I didn't want to hear that, but it was just such a cool thing because I knew it, and I confirmed. I'm like, hey, babe, I feel like I'm supposed to do it. She's like, yeah, you're definitely supposed to do it. So I love it when the Holy Spirit moves, and I bless this waitress, and I told her, hey, God has your back. And you could see, you know, the tears rolling up in her eyes. I love that kind of stuff. Positioning yourself. The other thing with surfing, you want to see, how you look, bro, how you doing? You doing good? You looking good. The other thing that CJ would tell you about surfing is you want to get yourself The goal is to get the momentum of the wave, catch the momentum of the wave. And that is how the Holy Spirit works. When I walk into a room or a situation, I know God needs to move here, I begin to pray, Holy Spirit, what are you already doing? Where are you already going? You know, and surfing is just about catching where that wave is going. And that's how the Holy Spirit is in our world. You want to move where he's moving, asking him. I remember I've had students come into my office or I've remember at a retreat one time, you know, a kid comes in and says, man, I'm just so depressed and I don't know what to do. I don't know how to defeat that depression. So I sit him down, I begin to pray and I say, Holy Spirit, will you reveal to this student right now what it is that is causing the depression? And then a memory will come into their head and they'll say it. And then I'll be like, Holy Spirit, what do you think about that situation? Boom, they'll have this thought come in their head. I literally do nothing but ask the Holy Spirit and he talks to that person and they leave and they're healed and they think I'm like awesome. And I'm like, I didn't do anything but ask the Holy Spirit to talk to them. That's how that works. I do that all the time. You can ask some of my college students. We have prayed like that. And he works, he moves. You want to see what he's doing. Ask him what he's doing. This city would get turned upside down if 250 people walked out of here and walked into work and said, Holy Spirit, what are you doing in here today? What are you doing in Better Buzz today, right now? What are you doing here? Boom. And last thing, going to my surfing analogy. The trick, once you catch momentum, is you stand on the board. That's the whole point of surfing, right? It's pretty simple. But the same is true in our spiritual word is that when you have the Holy Spirit and you take the word of God, you can begin to walk over situations and things that you would never be able to walk over before. You begin to glide right over. Peter didn't walk on water. He walked on the word that Jesus gave him to walk on water. He said, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. Those words activated with the Holy Spirit are what empowered him to glide across the water. And the same is true with the surfing. And the analogy here is that take the word of God and apply, and Holy Spirit, how do I apply this? And you can walk on water. You can do the miraculous. You can add the super to your natural. Give it up for CJ. Thank you, CJ. Point number two, equipment that a Christian needs. And this is, I've just learned in my walk with God to fight for this at all costs. But every Christian should be equipped with a clean conscience. Every Christian should be equipped with a clean conscience. Go to 1 Timothy 1:19 for me real quick. Cling to your faith in Christ. Keep your conscience clear. For some people have deliberately violated their consciences, and as a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. Cole, could you come out here? This is my next analogy. This is Cole, another one of our very handsome college students. This is also from my garage. This is my snowboarding gear. Cole, you look good. Are you single, Cole?
What?
Are you single? Oh, man, okay. Ladies, there you go. So this is my snowboard. This is my baby, by the way. I love snowboarding. I told Cole, like, if you break those goggles, I break you, okay? You can put them on too, man. People need to see those goggles. Those are seriously awesome goggles. All right. A clean conscience. I grew up in Northern California. I would go snowboarding all the time. Somebody's from Northern California. Right on. Come on. And I lived an hour from great snowboarding. So that was probably my primary extreme sport. I just would go all winter long. Usually my grades would drastically drop in the winter quarter because I was spending all my time at the snow. And I learned pretty quick that having good equipment is super important in the snow. And here's why. There is nothing worse than having numb hands and numb feet when you're out in the snow all day. You can't function. You can't eat lunch because your fingers don't work. You can't buckle your bindings. You can't do anything when you get some snow in the glove or you forget your gloves, which I have done. That was the worst snowboarding day of my life. But when you're numb and when you're cold, you can't function. And the same is true when there is sin undealt with in our life. The same is true. It calluses our conscience. And the thing with a callus, I have calluses on my hands from weightlifting, and the thing with a callus is, yeah, it might protect me from feeling pain, but I also can't feel any pleasure there anymore. And the thing about Jesus is he will not stop loving you because of your struggle. He will not stop loving you because you have sin in your world, but you, if you continue to live in it, will stop loving God. You will stop loving God because this perfect and pure and holy thing is around you, and he sees the potential you have, and he's always speaking good things over you. And when you feel in your soul, you don't feel that. It's like you will push yourself away because the tension of his love and you not feeling lovable. That's why people will date their own insecurity. They will date to the level of how secure they are. You see these like bombshell ladies with these guys, you're like, how did that happen? Like when you see my wife and me, you know? And her self-esteem was at an all-time low when we met. Thank you, Jesus. Just kidding, kind of. I don't know. I think she's blind. But anyways, that's a true statement, and true in the natural, true in the spiritual. This perfect love that God has for you. That's why we need a covering and we need forgiveness. But if we don't put things into the light, if we hide them, listen, you're not fooling anyone, by the way. Jesus already knows what your issues are. He already knows. But it's like going out in the snowboarding gear and not having your gloves and not having your goggles. You're exposing yourself to that, to the conditions, to the cold, and it's causing a numbness in you. You're not feeling like you used to feel. You don't feel love. You don't feel, you know, joy anymore. The sin is eating you from the inside out. And I want to encourage you guys tonight. And Cole, you can roll, bro. Thank you for standing up here in the snow gear. I want to encourage you tonight. If you've got some sin in your world that makes you feel guilty, ashamed, condemned, unlovable, tonight, do business with Jesus. The healing is in the confession to him. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Stop trying to keep it all compartmentalized and hidden. Things can't be healed until they're in the light. And here's the thing about this church. Here's what I love about C3 Church. Here's what I love about if you go to Mike and Rachel Finn's Connect Group or Andy and Amy Pugh's Connect Group or any Connect Group here. If you go to one of our Connect Group leaders or one of our volunteer leaders and you tell them, listen, I am trapped in this addiction and I can't shake it and it's making me feel so horrible and I'm sick and tired of this and I need help. If you go to them, we will not replace you. We will redeem you. That is our purpose in life. Jesus is not a replacer. He's a redeemer. When Peter denied him, he didn't go out and find a new disciple. He went back to the lake, back where it first started, said, you, get out of the boat. I'm not done with you. I'm here to redeem you. I'm not going to replace you. And you got to get over this spirit of rejection, thinking that people won't love you through it. They are for you. This church is for you. Jesus is for you. Oh, I get so passionate about this. Christians were not meant to carry a guilty conscience. And we hide, and the devil loves it. He whispers on one side, he says, if anyone ever knew, they'd all abandon you. They would be disgusted with you. They would stop believing in you. And then on the flip side, he says, keep it hidden, keep it hidden, keep it hidden. He's putting the shame, and then the thing that would heal the shame, he's encouraging you to completely reject. It is time to deal with it. Maybe you've been addicted to something for years. It can be tonight. You can start the road tonight. Listen, you might have to walk through a testing, and you might not completely get over everything tonight, but you can leave here with a clean conscience, and then tomorrow, if the struggle rises again and you give in, you can reactivate the clean conscience. You can confess it to Jesus and get somebody in your world and walk this out. The Bible says that if we confess our sins to one another, he is faithful to heal us. Listen, for some of you, you have shame, guilt, and condemnation that somebody else's sin put on you. But you still feel a guilty conscience. Deal with it tonight. Deal with it tonight. It's killing you on the inside. If there's one thing the Holy Spirit just burned in my heart to walk away tonight with is get my people free. Get my people free. I already know about it and I brought them here. Listen, you're here tonight. He loves you. And like he brought you here. So he hasn't rejected you. He wants you free. Last point. The thing that every Christian needs is their testimony. Dylan Smith, could you come up here real quick? Come on. More stuff from my garage. There you go. This is my paintball gear. Okay, this is all my stuff, I promise you. This is my paintball gear. Yes, and this is not even the half of what my garage is like, people. Help me, I have a problem. But there's a couple things just with this equipment that are really important in paintball and in combat. Is one, this is probably the most important piece of equipment right here. Because I have had many times where if it weren't for this, what was a fun day would have ended in a tragedy and I would be blind. And the devil is so scheme, his tactic with people is to try to take their vision out, the vision for their life. And the answer to not losing your vision is testimonies. It is your testimony. When I am facing a situation, what I have to go back is dig in and grab that testimony. I have to grab that thing that is similar to the last time I faced this. Recently, we had a baby. That's awesome. That's great. We had some health complications leading up to it. We spent a lot of time in the hospital, and the hospital bills are starting to come in, and I'm sweating a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, where the heck is insurance doing? Nothing, apparently. And I could get worried, I could get concerned, but what I do is I go back to the times when I was a poor college student, had no money, and I got in a car crash, and I had either a choice to tithe or pay my deposit for insurance, and I knew I didn't have enough money for both, and before I had to pay it, I went to church and I tithed, and I was freaking out, and the guy who I hit called me and said, I don't know what's going on, but the mechanic can't find the dent. It popped out, there's no damage. I saw the dent. I saw the car dented. It undid itself. It got its paint fixed up. The guy was angry. He's like, the mechanic can't find anything wrong. You're off the hook. I pull up that testimony and remind this test, hey, guess what? This time is going to be the same as last time. God is going to provide. He'll either bring the money or cancel the debt, because that's how he rolls. I bring up the time God told me to give our down payment to our house, and we couldn't get a house, and then we ended up a month later with a house and didn't have to pay a down payment. Like, I bring up these past experiences. The most important thing besides having vision is right in here. It's your ammunition. It's your hopper. This is called a hopper. And in there you put paintball. And I carry extra ammunition. Dylan, can you show them? These are extra pods, they call them. Pods to fill the hopper. Because if you run out of ammunition on the battlefield, it's over. And here, I'll tell you what, if you give me a couple of good paintballers and we have enough ammunition, I will beat you every time. Because I understand a concept that if we work as a team and two people can cover me, I can then advance. And that's what you want, and that's why you come to a faith-filled church, is you need people around you that'll cover you in their testimonies. Who, when you're going through a situation, they say, hey, I've been there before, but let me tell you my testimony. Let me tell you what God has done in my world. You gotta surround yourself with those people. Listen, if you have negative friends, I don't mean to be mean to them, but if those are the people that you go to and misery loves company, and they'll wallow with you in your self-pity, you gotta get some new friends. Church can't be I show up on Sunday, check it off the list, but then I don't have any family or community. You need to get with other people in this building, because their cover is what you're going to need when you're facing a battle. They're going to cover you with testimonies. They're going to cover you with prayer. They're going to provide, and they're not going to run out of ammunition. That's what I love about this church. You just got to sit in the seats for a couple weeks and testimonies start rolling in. We are a hopper-filled church. Our hoppers are always full. Dylan is always going to be bringing the heat on anybody, on any devil, on any situation. You want friends like Dylan. You want friends that'll cover you in your situation. You can go, Dylan. Thank you. It's a problem, people. I have gear. I am well-equipped for any extreme sport out there. Your testimony, Revelations 12:11. I'll finish with this verse. It says, and they overcome, conquered him, which is the devil, by the means of the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus, and by the utterance of their testimonies. By the utterance of their testimonies. Listen, I don't know what you're facing today. And maybe you're not very well skilled in re-bringing up your testimonies. But I want to encourage you, church, begin to practice. Listen, you're alive today. That's a testimony. because every one of us can think back of those times where you're like, oh my gosh, I should be dead. I have plenty of those. So if nothing else, I can just tell the devil, I'm alive today. I'm alive today, so I don't think God's done with me yet. And as I do that, then the Holy Spirit, I bring back in the Holy Spirit, and he begins to bring up more memories. And I utter those. I have to speak those out over my world and remind the devil and remind my situation that this test is turning into a testimony. I want to pray for some people. Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this church. I feel like there's two things. At first, I just want to hit on that clean conscience thing. I don't want anyone to leave this house feeling guilt, shame, or condemnation anymore, because it's not from God. And it's not how he intended you to live. And it is numbing your life experience. Jesus came to give life and life abundantly. His grace is sufficient for you. Whatever has happened to you, whatever you are trapped in, whatever you are struggling with, his grace is sufficient to you. So with everyone's head bowed and everyone's eyes closed, if you have some guilt, some shame, or some condemnation over a situation, tonight's your night that God is opening up and saying, just give it to me. And maybe you've been carrying it for years. And the Holy Spirit is saying, give it to me. And you don't feel like you deserve the opportunity. It's okay, you don't. None of us do. But Jesus still wants you to give it to him. He died so you could be free. He died for your freedom. And so eyes down, heads closed. If you need to ask forgiveness from Jesus or forgive somebody, just so I know who I'm praying for, would you raise your hand when I count to three? One, two, three. Come on, who am I praying for? Thank you. Thank you. Come on, put that hand up boldly. Come boldly. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray for you real quick. Jesus, you went to the cross specifically so we wouldn't have to carry what that cross represented. It was our shame, it was our guilt, it was our condemnation. So right now, Jesus, we give you this thing. We give you that sin. We give you that unforgiveness. We declare that your power now comes into our world and that we will not bring it up again. We will not mull it over in our head. We will accept the free grace that you have given us, and we will walk out of here free and with a clean conscience. Jesus, right now, touch your children. I see calluses falling off of hearts. I see numbness going away in people's world right now. You've been numb for so long. God, Jesus is just hugging on you and loving on you. Thank you, Jesus. And now, I want to do it, and the band's going to play, and I'll let Pastor Chittick close it up, but if you need a dose of the Holy Ghost and you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, I want to open up the altar for those of you who prayed for forgiveness. I want to encourage you, come down here now and get a fresh touch from God. Come down here. But even if you didn't raise your hand for the forgiveness, but you need a fresh touch, we're going to go into this song here. The band's going to sing, but we're going to open up the altar right now. Come on up if you want a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.